But I'm pointing out in chapter 11, 13, that the remnant, the people who are redeemed, in the midst of all these judgments, it tells us that they were affrighted. The church goes through the tribulation. The church suffers in the midst of a fallen world. And the righteous living among the ungodly are grieved, just as Lot was grieved in Sodom. Aren't you grieved by the sin that is around us every day?
Thank you for joining with us on Let the Bible Speak as we bring to you the message of God's Word, and we're turning to the book of Revelation again, to chapter 8. We're going to take a look at the seven trumpets which sounded of the visitation of God upon the earth. Here is the Lord's Word to His church. We are given this information that we might prepare ourselves for that great day when the Lord shall appear. I hope that you will follow along as we read this chapter today and as we get into these first trumpets. It is a message of grace. In spite of the fear that some have attached to this, it is a message of God's gracious purposes concerning His own church and His people. So stay tuned as we move now to the reading of Revelation chapter 8.
And we're going to go straight to our Bible reading, to the book of Revelation, chapter 8. Revelation 8, and we'll begin at chapter 6. Now that only leaves us a few verses remaining in this chapter, so we're going to go into chapter 9 and read it as well. So please follow along as we turn to Revelation chapter 8. Beginning at verse 6. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, and as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe! Woe, woe, to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Chapter 9, 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth seal sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire, and smoke, and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth, and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. After these first few judgments, time to repent, time to turn, time to call on God, for the greater judgments are yet to come. When you move into chapter 9, verse 1, you have the fifth trumpet sounding, the fifth judgment poured out. And you'll notice that these are more horrific by nature. These now are the beginning of spiritual judgments, because in verse 1, a star, which could well be an angel. You remember Revelation, the seven churches, the stars are the messengers or the ministers of the church. And this star is a messenger, falls from heaven onto the earth. And to him were given the key to the bottomless pit. And in these first 12 chapters, 12 verses, you have these spiritual judgments, locusts, which may well be demons, that are now advancing upon the earth. Mighty, terrible judgments. In verse 3, you'll see the locusts. In verse 5, you'll see that they did not have power to kill, but to torment for 5 months. In verse 6, you will see that they are so horrific that men seek death, but they cannot find it. And that will equate what we learned at the end of chapter 6, when the men will call upon the mountains to cover them and hide them from the wrath of God and of the Lamb. But they will not find death. The locusts, which were like horses. Now, they were like horses. Doesn't say they were horses. They are vicious, powerful, destructive. And right down that section, you see Satan at work. Now, he's named in verse 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. This is obviously a wicked angel, a devil, or the devil himself, whose name is in the Hebrew tongue, Abaddon. That's his name. But in the Greek tongue hath his name, Apollyon. Now, the margin of your Bible may well show you that those names mean destroyer. That's what the devil is. He's a destroyer. The devil never builds. He never prospers. He always destroys. He destroys property, people, bodies, souls. He destroys the things that are righteous and good. And he is let loose. He is at work during this time. Do you see the increase, the ramping up of God's pouring out increasing powerful judgments, seeking to bring men to repentance, if only they will turn? And then we come to number 6, which really is the climax, chapters 9, 13, and this will take us right through to chapter 11. But if you go down to verse 16 in chapter 9, you will see the phenomenal numbers and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. Overwhelming. These are staggering numbers. These are numbers that are meant to impress us with a formidable force that human fighting could never resist. Overwhelming. And yet, when you go down to verse 20, 21, there is no repentance. Such is the hardness and the wicked nature of man. Moving into chapter 10, verse 6, I want to point out that it says here at the end of this verse that time is running out, that there should be time no longer. Now, the margin says no delay, no delay. God is hastening on in his purposes in this world. And that's true in every generation. It's true in every century. It's true in every period that God allows until the coming of Christ, God calls, God ramps up his judgments that he brings until there is no longer delay, judgment falls. Now you can apply that to nations, you can apply that to world history, but you can also apply it to your own life. When we stop listening to God, he knocks harder and harder and harder until there is no more delay. In chapter 11, verse 13, it refers to a remnant. Now, I know that I'm covering a lot of ground here, and yet not covering every detail by any means. But I'm pointing out in chapter 11, 13, that the remnant, the people who are redeemed in the midst of all these judgments, it tells us that they were affrighted. The church goes through the tribulation. The church suffers in the midst of a fallen world. And the righteous living among the ungodly are grieved, just as Lot was grieved in Sodom. Aren't you grieved by the sin that is around us every day? Aren't we often opposed because men will not repent? And we're told here that the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Worship doesn't stop. The witness of the church, the worship of the church, the loyalty of God's people, the honor that they give to the Lord continues right in the throes of all these judgments that come. Then in chapter 11, we come to the trumpet number 7. Here is the wrap-up, and we go to verse 15. Now, see the difference of the saints in heaven and the wicked. We're told here in verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying. And here now, as I say, is the culmination, the finality of it. And they rejoice, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. I just love those words. It sounds like the hallelujah chorus, as the Lord is ascribed all the glory and the honor. At the end of chapter 11, which is really the end of a very big section in the book of Revelation, you'll see that God gets the last word through the thunderings and the lightnings, the voices, and an earthquake, and great hail. God gets the last word. And so all of these judgments are warnings that God is on the throne. God is governing. God permits these things. And we need to prepare ourselves. And we're given the mission to call men to prepare to seek unto their God. Now, there's a big lesson here I want us to dig into tonight. When some people meet calamity, of course, they ask, is God trying to tell me something? Is this a message to me? Well, what we learn from these seven judgments is that those who were taken away in the third of the judgments that fell upon the third of the population, the third of the sea, the third of the land, they're gone. Judgment has come to them. It is those that remain that are now given mercy and called to repent. There is in us a tendency to think, well, if God judged those people and calamity fell upon them, they must have done something to deserve it. They must have done something that was so wicked and so evil that they were destroyed. But we're warned in the Bible There's a number of examples that are given to us in Luke chapter 13. There were a tower that fell. And when the tower fell and destroyed 18 men, the thought went up, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem. And here's the Lord's reply, Luke 13:5. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now around the world, calamities happen continually. Hurricanes, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions. We've had them in recent days, almost like a mini Pompeii where communities are engulfed in magma, destroyed suddenly. And we tend to say, well, God judged them for something. But God is actually speaking to all of us, to those who remain, that we need to repent also. And of course, God is saying to us with these events around the world, stop trusting in the world. Stop trusting in this changing, faltering world that is under judgment. These things are warnings, and they call us all to turn to God to seek His grace. Now, a couple of things I want to wrap up with here tonight. That God calls men to repentance by revealing the misery of living under Satan. We read here about the torments. We read here about those who seek death and cannot find it. To live without Christ, to live without God, is a wretched thing, and it brings people to face eternity. And there ought to be a turning to God. That is the lesson. Now also we see here that God calls men to repentance by revealing the victory that Christ gives to His remnant, to His church. Those who repent, those who trust in the mercy of the Lord, and they're described there in chapter 11, 13 as the remnant, they enter into the victory. And what I did in my Bible, I took my blue highlighter and I highlighted the end of verse 13, the end of verse 15, all of verse 17, all of verse 18. And these are the words of the triumphs of the saints, enjoying the victory that was purchased by the Lord Jesus. And they escape the judgments. They are not hurt because the mark of God is upon them, and they sing the praises of the Lord. And we learn that the victory that Christ got at the cross, at Calvary, when He spoiled Satan of his goods, that was a real victory, a victory that will be manifested over and over in the times of the Lord's destroying the wicked. He will still gather His people. He will still have those who will praise Him. As in those words, verse 15, chapter 11, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. There are two types of people that go out into eternity. Those who have never repented, those who have never given up their sinful ways, they will be destroyed. Hell is mentioned. The abyss, the bottomless pit, the torment of the wicked. It's all revealed here. But for those who repent and turn to God through Christ, there is no condemnation. Now there are two types of people perhaps in this meeting tonight. There are those who have repented. You hate the sins that you once were involved in. You have not only said they are wrong, but you have turned in faith to Christ. Repentance is an evangelical grace. It is to hate sin, turn to Christ, seek the mercy of God, and to obey him with a new obedience. I pray tonight that you have that new obedience. You have that obeyed the gospel. Turn to God by faith in the Lord Jesus. The other question I might ask you is, are you serving this world? Are you trusting in its riches, its materialism, the things and the stuff of life, which are very precarious? They can be destroyed and burned up, and they will one day be gone. But you tonight have an opportunity to cease trusting in earthly things and put your trust in the Son of God, who came from heaven's glory to save your soul. Here's the call of repentance. Seven trumpets. Trumpets are to warn. Trumpets are to call you to prepare. Have you prepared to meet your God? Have you confessed your sins and put your faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus as your Savior? If not, you perish. If yes, you're safe. The difference between the safety of the remnant and the perishing of the wicked is stark. It's just glaring right out of these pages. And if anyone tells us there's no such thing as God's wrath upon sinful men, it's revealed vividly, repeatedly, personally. God speaking, calling men to leave their sins and turn to Christ. I trust that this big view picture tonight is written on your heart, and that you will seek the Lord, and that you will also get a grasp of the urgency of our gospel work. We are not about a game. We're not about playing church. We have a great work to do, to call men to leave their ways of sin and to seek the safety that is in Christ. Will you do that this week? Will you pray about that? Will you memorize a couple of Bible verses that you could share with someone that doesn't even know their danger? And let us be warning and warners in the midst of a perishing world.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.